Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us now, Matt Hayes, Saturday Down South, 1010XL as well. That's RJ's old station. He's a national college football reporter. He's joining us here, Matt Hayes, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. First of all, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. Lance and I both, we said, I don't think I've ever seen anything like the way Jimbo and Nick Saban went after each other. Not good for, I'm not sure. Was it good for college football or not good for college football?
I think I go back to what the longtime old SEC commissioner Roy Cram used to say, any news is good news. And he's right. I mean, it's, you know, that's how they built their brand from being this little regional conference to deciding, oh, let's try a championship game, and then boom, it just blows up. And now they're the behemoth of all college sports. They're so strong now, guys, they could literally just say, screw the rest of you guys, we're gonna go have our own playoff and just break away from everybody. And it would be very, very successful, and ESPN would pay a ton of money for it. So I think what will happen in the spring meetings that are at the end of this month, over there in Destin, which is a little panhandle town in Florida, I think what will happen is Greg Sankey will go into the coach's meeting room and say, look, this has to end now because we don't want to be publicly bickering. If you got a problem, bring it to me or settle it between yourselves. The last thing we need is public bickering because it's not good for the brand when in reality, any news is good news. I'm a firm believer of that.
You know, Matt, you can always learn from history, and history showed people in this region when there was a Southwest Conference, you know, there's always illegal activity going on in every conference, but Southwest Conference teams started really getting after each other behind the scenes and in public, and it eventually led to, was partially responsible for leading to the demise of the Southwest Conference. I'm not saying the Southeast Conference, it's going to lead to their demise. But I do think there is something to learn from. Usually the SEC's been pretty good at keeping their dirty laundry private and not airing things out publicly. I think that's what makes this so staggering, is that Nick Saban, who if people dig enough, they're going to find some dirty laundry on him. Why would he take this chance to put this out here for other coaches and other players who've either been with him or been recruited by him to get their licks in the future? That's shocking to me that he would take that kind of chance.
So there's a couple of answers. You got a two-part question. The first part is, you know, while I understand how you're trying to compare it to the Southwest Conference, the difference is the Big 12 was there offering them a ton of money, offering those schools to leave. So no one's going to be offering any of those SEC schools to leave and get more money. They will not make any more money than they are now. They're going to make more than anybody. So that's not a point with that. Now, number two, to the larger point, and I wrote about this today at Saturday Down South, Nick said those things because Nick's panicking. He sees the end on the horizon. He sees it. And the end, the name is the NIL. That's the end of the Alabama dynasty, because this is what everybody, you know, the initial thought with NIL, guys, was, oh, it's gonna, you know, allow Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State and Clemson to rise even further away. No, it's gonna bring everyone closer together, because the elite recruits, all things being equal, money being equal, they're not leaving their home. A perfect example is Luther Burden, who's, you know, was a number one receiver in high school this year, the number four player overall, okay, consensus, like, stud five-star guy. He's from East St. Louis, which is right across the river in Illinois, but it's basically Missouri. That kid stayed and went to Missouri because the Missouri Collective got him money instead of going to Alabama. He chose Missouri over Alabama. And this will happen over and over and over again. Another perfect example, the last championship game, Nick looked across the field and saw that Georgia had 7 5-star guys on defense. Those were the guys that when Kirby was there with him, and even to an extent a little bit anyway, after Kirby left, he was getting those players. He's not getting them anymore. He's only getting his share or less. And right now when Jimbo comes around and gets 8 5-star guys, a majority of them who could have gone to Alabama as well, Nick sees what's going on. He sees Billy Napier going into Florida, who's another guy that was an assistant under Nick. Billy Napier, within 2 weeks of getting to Florida, got a 5-star recruit out of IMG, you know, the elite academy in Bradenton. Dan Mullen got fired because he couldn't get guys out of IMG. He couldn't get guys from the state of Florida because Nick was killing it. Billy Napier did it with the help of the collective in 2 weeks. Brian Kelly goes into LSU. Brian Kelly's been recruiting top 10 classes at Notre Dame since he's been there. He's gone to the playoff twice. He's been sipping through a straw at Notre Dame as far as recruiting. What happens when he gets to LSU and he's drinking through a fire hydrant to recruit at LSU with some money and the players there? And then there's Mario Cristobal. Mario goes to Oregon, wins two Pac-12 championships. He worked under Nick. He knows the process. Now he goes to Miami, which hasn't had a legitimate national champion-type season in 2 decades. All that talent down there in South Florida, where Nick went and got Jerry Jeudy and got Amari Cooper, all those guys went down there and got, that's not happening anymore with Mario being there.
But okay.
So Nick sees the future.
Matt, it's not like it wasn't happening before. I mean, the payments were out there. Now it's just emboldened everybody. Now, is this not leveling the playing field? Because
of course,
the SEC has been paying for years and years and years. Now everybody can.
Well, first off, everybody's been paying for years, years, and years. Anyone who thinks their school, I don't care what conference you're in, isn't paying players, you're out of your mind. Everybody's been paying for years and years and years. And you're right. Now it's above board. And I think that's what really got Jimbo bent more than anything is the verbiage Nick used, bought. The word bought has that connotation of that you're cheating. If Nick would have just said, look, Jimbo knew the rules of NIL like we all did, and he played the game better than any of us, Jimbo wouldn't have been upset. But the fact that Nick said he bought every one of his players, which he did, but you don't use that word. And he didn't do it. The collective did. And I don't know if it was everyone anyway. But the collective certainly helped them with that elite recruiting class. The word bought, I think, is what got Jimbo so bent. Because honestly, at the end of the day, if everybody has the money and these players are choosing between, okay, team A with money and team B with money, they're going to go to the team that makes them feel most comfortable, the coach that makes them feel most comfortable, the staff they believe can get them ready for the NFL. And that is also what I think got Jimbo so bad, because he feels like, look, we're all on an even level. Now it's just who can recruit these guys better. And he feels like his staff did a good job. Whether that's true or not, I'm telling you, that's how he feels.
Yep, yep. How do we get it so that, you know what, it actually is name, image, likeness, as opposed to an inducement to come to my school?
I don't think you can. I mean, in Nick's perfect world, that's what it is. It's once you get to college, once you've played it at college and you've actually done something, then you get a deal. But if the Supreme Court, which last year said you can't prevent student athletes from using their name, image, and likeness, if they said that in a 9-0 decision, do you think they're all of a sudden going to say, well, high school students can't do it, but college players can?
Yeah.
No way. There's no rails on this thing, and that's the problem. You can't prohibit anyone from making money off their name, image, and likeness. And honestly, that's the way it should be. Because why would you tell someone they can't make money off their name? That's about as un-American as it gets, seriously. So I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this thing. You know, there could be these guidelines that the NCAA has issued, but they're toothless. They don't do anything. So it's simply a matter of if they catch someone that has a connection that is literally connected to the university and is working with a coach to buy a player, then I think you can get a situation where they have sanctions. But if the NCAA can't catch them working with the university, working with assistant coaches, where assistant coaches are saying, we need this player, this player, and this player, go get them, there's nothing they can do.
But you have to have sanctions that have teeth. And so I don't think that's going to happen until the NCAA sees it's inevitable, or the FBS sees the inevitable split of the biggest superpowers, the Power Five conferences, whatever it's going to look like. Until that happens, once that happens, there's going to be some regulatory board there that sets some standards. I'm not sure that we're going to see the full scale, you know, once you have the power to punish teams for wrongdoing, then you have deterrents in place. Right now, there are no deterrents. And frankly, to your point, Matt, you know, John and I know one of the guys who is a big, big player in the NIL space in terms of getting the best deals for the biggest players. He got all of Derek King's, and he works with all the biggest names. And one of the things he told us from the very beginning was, hey, look, it's the Wild West out here. We've gone through schools and talked to different compliance directors, and it's basically wide open. I mean, wide, wide open. There are no rules right now. So until there are actual rules in place and then an enforcement committee, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's just not going to happen. I don't. You can't prevent someone from earning money off their name. So that's the issue. I think you asked me when will it end? Well, it's going to end when the 45 teams that can invest the type of money that need to be invested in playing at that level will break away. But at that point, it's going to be a completely different model. And the rest of the teams will still play football. The conferences will still be, like the SEC will still be the SEC. They'll play SEC basketball, baseball, all the other sports. The football will be a standalone league, and it will be a pay-for-play, and they will collectively bargain. It will be all of that. It will be all of that. That's when this ends. When does it happen? I don't know, 5-7 years down the road, or maybe even sooner if the situation arises where the presidents are tired of what's going on. It's going to be a presidential move. There's no doubt about that. And then it's just going to be a matter of what university is completely financially invested in doing this league.
Hmm. Well, I will tell you this. It's still Quinn Ewers had to leave Texas. Here in Texas, the UIL, the High School Association, won't allow it. So it'll be interesting to see if that's ever challenged. But that is.
But he left and got the money, right?
He went to Ohio, got his money.
Then he left Ohio and came back and got the money again. So when you're a five-star, like your guy's five-star producer, R.J. Saunders, you will find a way to get who wants you most and get the most money.
Oh, no, I'm worried about them getting their money. Especially, five stars, they're going to get paid. There's no question about it. It's just got to, like I said, now it's just out in the open. It's been happening forever. It's just out in the open now. But holy crap, we've seen coaches argue. I've seen coaches argue behind the scenes. But the way that they did that last week, Nick and Jimbo, holy crap. Never seen anything like
that. Hey, real quick, too. Honestly, we're talking about two guys who make $10 million a year arguing about players getting money.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. Right?
I
mean, you've got to be kidding me. Of course they deserve money. Let them get all the money they can.
Well, and Nick even said, I don't know, I agree with NIL at the next day. No, you
Nick wasn't
don't.
Arguing that.
Well, they all do that. That's how they all parse it.
Yeah. Matt, we know Nick was talking directly to the money guys in the room that, hey, we got to step it up.
Step up,
that's
baby.
All it was is we need
right.
more money.
Yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Of course.
Hey,
Eli Drinkwitz literally at his national signing day. Missouri signing day. Which, by the way, Missouri had a top 15 recruiting class this year. Eli Drinkwitz, at his national signing day press conference, told the community of Columbia, we need your help. He literally asked them for money at the signing day.
That's the way to do it, baby. You got to advertise. Otherwise, you ain't going to get it. Nick was just advertising, that's all. Hey, Matt, well, good stuff. We really appreciate it. It's Saturday Down South. National College football reporter Matt Hayes with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks. Good stuff.
All right. My pleasure, guys.
All right. Let's talk right now about this. I'm telling you, Billy and Mary, they are the nicest people. And what you want when you're calling a plumber is you want people that you can trust. You want people that are going to come to your home and they're going to give you a square deal. You don't want add-ons. You don't want people saying, you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that, see? And, more money. It's going to cost. We got to rip everything out, see? No. What you want is them to tell you. And if maybe you do have to rip everything out. That might
sometimes
be the case.
That actually, know that we've got to make a move. Like, we've got a house that was built in the 60s, and one of the pipes, if we want to keep this from being a recurring problem, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, that happens sometimes with homes. But I want somebody to do it who is going to do what they say they're going to do, do it the right way, and I get a fair offer from. And that's why I have Aqueduct Plumbing.
Yeah, they're really, really awesome people. They're not going to charge to come to your home for an evaluation. A lot of these, it's just to show up for a plumber. Sometimes it's $70, $75, whatever the case may be. That's not what they do at Aqueduct Plumbing. And they're so good. They're wonderful. Emergency situations, or if you just got a consistent problem, Aqueduct Plumbing. They're really, really, really great. So if you're looking for that plumber, these are the people. AqueductPlumbing.com. It's TheBenchPlumbing.com? The Bench Plumbing.
TheBenchPlumbing.com.
Yeah, TheBenchPlumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5.